Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Coming to you live from the mighty Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated. Let me tell you why. I've been knocking out bums now for, get this, 4 decades, 40 years of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, hey, think about it. I've won 4 Golden Glove titles and an award-winning boxing writer. So supposedly, allegedly, I should know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? You're the fan. You're buying the pay-per-view. Wink, wink. Are you taking the fifth on that one? Bottom line is, open phone lines all across America. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, this is the longest-running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Again, my name is Pedro Fernandez, and we welcome you to the show. Of course, the heavyweight championship going down last night in Saudi Arabia, of all places. Bottom line is, Oleg Usyk, a 12-round winner, of course, a duplicate, basically, of the first fight. Of course, he beat Tyson Fury the first time around. People thought this was a better fight the second time. I don't know either fight. Somehow, Oleg Usyk is a great fighter. There's no doubt about it. But somehow, for some reason, I'd prefer an American heavyweight. Maybe I'm just biased, but the bottom line is there are no American heavyweights. In fact, probably the only guy that could probably challenge him is Daniel Dubois or Daniel Dubois, the IBF heavyweight champion. Bottom line is, you know, it looks like Oleg Usyk is all alone in the heavyweight division. If he can't do something, because the bottom line is everybody else is sort of like ho-hum. I mean, straight up, they're all ho-hum. Maybe Martin Borkoli, he might be the dark horse. He's a once-beaten fighter out of Europe. But the bottom line is, outside of that, the heavyweight division, especially in America, looks bad. So we'll talk about the heavyweight picture as far as the world stage is concerned. We'll talk about, of course, the lightweight division as well. That's packing. Everybody's talking about Gervonta Davis. He's the face of boxing. He's not really the face of boxing. Gervonta Davis is yet to fight a fighter that's really a fighter. I mean, outside of Ryan Garcia, look at his resume. A whole lot of guys, like, we'll give you this, we'll give you that. In other words, fights he was supposed to win. He has not yet been in a fight where he's been challenged. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Once again, open phone lines around the planet, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. The retired HBO Godfather Larry Merchant will be here right after the break on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern time. And weekend replays, 24/7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League. Presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
This is J.D. Sharp. I've been developing a revolutionary sports handicapping service, and you can be a part of the beta. Sign up at BetUS.com with a deposit of as little as $50 and use the promo code SHARPBETTING. Email a screenshot of your account to WorldwideSharp@gmail.com and I'll reply personally with my plays. My NFL record this season was an industry best 72-33, and this is the only way to know all my plays the moment I make them. Let's keep making money together.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Hard as hustle anything is boxing, though. I don't know what you do for a living, but pretty sure ain't nobody punching you all in your eye. I watched one fight. Roy Jones got hit so hard, my TV moved. He was asleep like he got knocked out of the club. The ref was like 241, 242. Roy was snoring. He was really knocked out. He was laying there so long, they had to start another fight. Roy was still there. Fighters had to dance around Roy.
That's the comedian Earthquake. Back in the days when HBO was called Home Box Office. I kid you not. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Speaking of Home Box Office, let's bring in the retired HBO godfather himself, talking about Mr. Larry Merchant. And Larry, how are you and the godmom on this lovely December day?
Well, it's clouded down here, but we're expecting family to come over for a nice lunch, and we're doing all right.
All right. Questions. You know, Bob Arum and Don King got a lot of credit for promoting the golden era of boxing. That's what people called that era, the 70s, the 80s, some of the 90s. Bottom line is, Seth Abraham was the guy that probably put those fights together. Does Seth deserve more credit than Arum and King?
I don't know how to quantify it. Arum and King were the top promoters of that time. Seth Abraham negotiated with them for fights and money and all that good stuff. But Seth was responsible for the HBO era in boxing.
Okay, without a doubt. And what's he doing nowadays? He's kicking back somewhere in New York?
You got it. He's got grandchildren and living the good life of New York.
Did the Vision, why did the HBO Vision die? I mean, is would it be possible for HBO in 2024 to put on a boxing series?
I doubt it. When a new group bought HBO, AT&T, somebody, the numbers weren't as good as they had been, so they found a way to wind the boxing down because they felt that their real opponents or adversaries were the streaming services. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to get into all of that.
Okay. Well, the bottom line is when HBO went away, of course, a lot of the HBO had, maybe it wasn't you, and it was the whole HBO mantra, where they sort of held boxing people, and they held them accountable. The boxing media held people accountable back then. Now there is no boxing media. I mean, there really isn't. The major papers don't have boxing writers anymore. I mean, you remember Earl Gutsky and guys like that with the LA Times? I mean, and the New York writers, and you were in Philadelphia, this kind of stuff. There is no boxing media. Actually, there's no media watching the world, but the boxing media is dead, gone, doesn't exist.
Yeah, there are a couple of guys who follow the game, have ways of communication, like Steve Kim. Dan Raphael.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I don't know any newspapers that have boxing writers per se, although occasionally they do boxing stories when there's a big event.
Yeah. But Godfather, they sanctioned the mobs. They couldn't get away with the crap that they're getting away with nowadays. Number one contenders not getting title fights for 2 or 3 years, things like that, because favorable fighters were holding the titles, you know, things like that going on in the sanctioning bodies. They have. I don't know what happened to the Association of Boxing Commissions, but in 1996, this Muhammad Ali Boxing Act came into law, and John McCain authored some of it. But the bottom line is, there was supposed to be some authority over the sport of boxing. There is no authority, none, absolutely none. We talk about the
real life. There are still boxing commissions. I don't know if you'd call them an authority.
Yeah.
An interesting thing I heard recently before the fight yesterday, Usyk and Fury, was Fury saying he had paid $1 million, I think, to one of the sanctioning organizations in order to get sanctioned as a champion or whatever it was. So it's a different kind of mafia going on out there now.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think to an extent, I held Suleiman to with the exception of him stripping Roy Jones, I was all over him about that. But I was in his face on certain things, and he was sort of cool about it because I think Don King and Suleiman realized it's better to have Pedro pissing inside the tent than just having pissing outside the tent. And therefore, I was able to see things that maybe other reporters and writers wouldn't see. But at least somebody held them accountable back then. Nobody's holding them accountable now. Let's move on as far as questions are concerned. Back to HBO. How come Lou DiBella was vice president? How come they didn't want him to be the CEO of HBO Sports? Why did they offer him boxing dates and a big package to go away?
You know, I'm not sure of all of those remembrances. All I do know is that Lou was not considered a real corporate type. Okay?
Yeah.
He was a one-off guy, and he created, what was the second series that HBO had?
HBO Boxing After Dark.
Right, that was his baby, and that introduced all of the great Mexican fighters and other fighters that otherwise would never get a chance in America at that time. But Lou was not really to his positiveness. He was not a corporate type. That was one thing. But I don't know exactly. He left HBO.
You think it was because he smoked weed? That he preferred smoking weed instead of cocktails?
Well, if that was the case, that would be an indication of one indication of why he wasn't a corporate type. But he left HBO 6 months before Seth Abraham resigned.
Yeah, all right.
And he went into boxing on his own. And today, his major enterprise...
He's up there. He's one of the top five.
No, but he owns two minor league baseball teams.
Oh.
That he's very proud of.
Well, that's cool. All right. I mentioned Don King a little earlier, of course, the wire-haired wonder, call him what you want, but Don King didn't like you from the start. He told me that. What's your personal and professional perspective on Don King?
Well, I think he was a brilliant self-promoter. And there were too many people who complained about contracts with him. But he was a tremendous promoter and self-promoter. For example, in the historic fight in Zaire, when Ali beat Foreman, by the time the fight came off, everybody thought Don King had been the promoter. He wasn't the promoter. He was hired to come over and help with the promotion, and he did a good job on that. But by the time the fight happened, everybody thought he was the promoter.
No, let's tell the truth. By the time the fight happened, you were exiled to the United States. You couldn't go to Zaire. President Mobutu would not let you back in the country.
That's true.
what a badge of honor that is, Godfather.
I was just about to say it. One of my ultimate badges of honor.
Without President Mobutu, what a piece of work. He bankrupted an entire country putting that fight on over there. I mean, but somehow he had the envision that people wanted to go over there and, like, make it the new French Riviera, the middle of Zaire, and that wasn't going to happen. Somehow he got conned.
Well, they had a big game preserve that had been closed to the public for years, and he was going to open that and try to make it a destination point for tourists and all of that. But he was better at hanging his opponents than promoting.
That was a nice shot there. He was better at hanging his opponents. Okay, I promised I would let you go early today because you've got some holiday functions. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, all that kind of good stuff. Kiss the Godmama for me. I'd like to see you before the end of the year. If you give me permission to come down, I will. Until next week, peace, love, and lots of respect.
Hey, always a joy for me. Let's just keep going.
The Godfather, the retired HBO Godfather himself, Mr. Hall of Fame, Larry Merchant in the house. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624. Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
It's macho time.
Well, the scores last night, of course, brought in a little bit of controversy. 116-112 times three. That's right, 8-4. All three judges thought Usyk won the fight. Of course, Usyk was a prohibitive favorite going in, about a 2-1 favorite over a guy that I thought would be able to bring a little bit more than he brought. I mean, he just didn't bring a whole lot. I'm talking about Tyson Fury. Of course, it was a battle for the WBC, WBA, and WBO unified heavyweight titles. Of course, Oleg Usyk, that champion, of course. And as Larry Merchant just mentioned, one of the sanctioning bodies, the WBA, the WBC, or the WBO, got $1 million for Tyson from Tyson Fury just for that fight. I mean, holy cow. Now you know why I don't deal with these people anymore. Of course, I'm not doing WBC TV anymore. Now you see why I'm not on WBC TV. You actually think I can go on to WBC TV and say, listen, I'm a real honest, straight-up boxing writer. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And when I assaulted, I did assault Suleiman to an extent. Of course, I insulted his integrity and things like that. Of course, he had it coming. The WBC had that Oshaki Foster, that horrible decision with Robinson Canseco about 6 months ago. Of course, they rectified that with a rematch. But the bottom line is they've done some shady stuff. And I'm talking about the fact that David Benavidez, who may have maybe past his peak at this point in time, of course, February 1st against Eric Morrell down there at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. But David Benavidez was the number one contender for 3+ years of the WBC at 168 pounds. And because Canelo Alvarez didn't want to fight him or didn't respect him or he wouldn't kiss Canelo's ass or whatever it was, bottom line is Canelo won't fight him. Okay, so Canelo's fought all kinds of other guys, including Jaime Munguia. Speaking of Jaime Munguia, good old Bruno Sorais. Okay, who's Bruno Sorais? He's some guy from France. Can't punch much. He's got an undefeated record, but he's fought a lot of guys, you know, that he should have beat. But the bottom line is Bruno comes into Tijuana, Mexico. Of course, I'm talking about the Lions Den for Mexican fighters, no doubt about that. Chavez, of course, made his bones in Tijuana, no doubt about that. But anyway, Munguia's fighting in Tijuana. He's at home. He's like 44-1. Of course, the only fight he lost was to the aforementioned Ducker, Canelo Alvarez. But the bottom line is Munguia's in against Bruno Sorais, and he's like a 25 or 30-1 favorite. I mean, this is a walk in the park fight for him, right? Yeah. So he's racking some shots up. I think he's leading on points when Sorais lands one right hand and it's all over. Either it hit him in the temple or the side of the face. But the bottom line is the punch ended the night for Jaime Munguia. A 25, 35, 40-1. Some people had it 50-1 as far as the odds were concerned. As far as this Frenchman is concerned, coming over here to Tijuana and winning in the Lion's Den. Because think about this. He was 25-0. He was fighting basically at 160 pounds, 160. This fight was at 168. Big difference between 160 and 168. Although Jaime Munguia at one point in time was 154-pounder. But the bottom line is they fought at 168. The guy had to move up 8 pounds to fight at 168. And he only had 4 knockouts with 24 wins, something like that. Bottom line is he couldn't punch his way out of a paper bag. Bailey can punch harder than him. Bottom line is he couldn't punch. And you're facing a non-puncher, so you're facing a non-puncher. You're walking with your hands down. That's what happened. You know, he walked in. Mugia walked in with his hands down around his, a little lower than his chin, about his chest, right? Thought he was macho, this and that. I can take this guy's shot. Well, guess what? Guy hit you clean. You went out. Maybe your career is over. Bottom line is you fought too many of Tijuana cab drivers. I'm just trying to say this. Listen, Chavez fought a lot of cab drivers too, okay? But Mugia fought a whole lot of cab drivers. I'm just telling you, he just did. And a lot of the guys that he fought where he was supposed to beat, and there were no fights where he was in a fight where maybe he was up, you know, you can flip a coin, this and that, because the Canelo Alvarez fight, Munguia just kissed his ass. I mean, after the fourth round, I think he got knocked down in the fourth round, Munguia did, and from that point forward, he was like all but kissing Canelo's ass. And then, of course, after the fight, and I've never heard of this in the history of boxing, I've never, ever, ever heard of this before in my life, but after the fight, Munguia was a good little boy, according to Canelo, okay? He bought him a $150,000 car. I mean, what kind of crap is that? How can you, what would motivate you? I mean, why not donate the $150,000 to charity? Unless you got some type of prearranged arrangement with this guy, and I'm not going to hurt you, or I'm not going to go after you, I'm not going to insult you, I won't degrade you in public, I won't bring up the fact that you won't fight David Benavidez, none of that kind of good stuff. Munguia just sat there and he played the game. He played the game, and he made some money. More power to him. But guess what? He got exposed the other night. Got exposed as what? An overconfident fighter. Not saying he would have beaten Bruno Cerras, but he was definitely on his way to beating him before he got caught and got knocked out. So more power to Cerras. Of course, a fighter from France. More power to him. Not too many French fighters make it. I mean, they come over here and they flop. They just come over and they just do. I mean, just like Japanese fighters. They used to come over here and flop. Now we've got Japanese fighters coming over here and kicking ass. Speaking of coming over here, Nanoa Inoue, of course, going to defend his title, the 122-pound championship, the Japanese superstar, the monster, call him what you want. But the bottom line is it's moved up to January 24th instead of January 24th instead of Christmas Eve. Now, I was looking at a package to go over there maybe and spend some time over there in Japan around Christmas Eve, right? And it was like a $2,000, $2,500 package. So I didn't do it. I didn't want to go. And then, of course, they postponed the fight a month. Of course, I've been on trips before where I bought these packages where you have to go and you can't cancel and that kind of good stuff. There was a couple times I went places where there weren't fights. It wasn't a good time fight-wise, but I had a good time because, you know, it was already billed and that kind of good stuff. So I took advantage of it. Bottom line is Munguia may have to find another job. Maybe he can drive a Tijuana cab, something like that. Bottom line is Bruno Cerras may be a superstar in the making, of course. 168 pounds, Canelo Alvarez, sick of forking him. 175 pounds is what's going on. Of course, that's the February 1st fight between once unbeaten Eric Morrell, 11-0, like 9 knockouts, forced to a former Cuban amateur star. Of course, a guy that's captured a lot of minds and opened a lot of eyes. I'm talking about like Tommy D, who'll be here in a few minutes. He thinks that Morrell's going to win. I think Socrates Palmer, Boxing's PhD, I think he's leaning towards Morrell as well. Of course, Morrell taking on the unbeaten David Benavidez, what, 28-0, 29-0, 24 knockouts, something like that. Bottom line is Benavidez is a monster, but has the monster hit his peak? That's what I'm sort of leaning that way because, you know, Canelo had him on the hook for 3 years. For 3 years, you're waiting for this big money payday, and the guy goes, maybe it's going to happen, maybe it's going to happen. And then the WBC issues mandates. Canelo Alvarez must fight David Benavidez by November. Yeah, that November passed already, and they didn't do it. Bottom line is they issued mandates, and they sort of quietly put him away. As far as, like, the sanctioning bodies, I'll say it again, the world of bunko and chicanery. That's the best way to describe the WBC. Or we be Canelo. How about that one, the WBC? Of course, the WBA, the world of bandits and anarchy. I mean, that's the best way I could put it. WBO would just leave it at that. But the bottom line is these sanctioned bodies are getting a lot of money. Of course, as a sanctioned body, I think it's the WBC, my personal opinion, is that the WBC got $1 million from Tyson Fury. That's a lot of money. Why should he have to give $1 million of his purse to those guys? I mean, I don't care how much money he's making. Bottom line is those bandits don't deserve $1 million. No way, no how. Straight up, this is Ring Talk. Excuse me, trying to clear my voice. Ring Talk, live worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Want to mention the passing of Ricky Henderson. Let me tell you about Ricky. Ricky, of course, the all-time leadoff hitter in Major League history and that kind of good stuff. Sold all the bases. Of course, he's one of the fastest guys I've ever seen. He would go to the fights, Bailey. He would go to the fights, Ricky would go to the fights, and he would buy a ticket. And I'd be like the ring announcer, right? And he'd buy a ticket up, like, not in the cheap seats, but in the middle of the arena, right? He'd buy a ticket in the middle of the arena, and they'd tell me, Ricky Henderson's here. I said, can you get him to come down the ring? Oh, no, he don't want to come down the ring. He don't want any fanfare, none of that kind of stuff. This is the guy that was the biggest show off in the history of baseball. But once he retired from baseball, he wanted to be a show-off anymore. So he passed away. May he rest in peace, of course. And Dave Winfield, the former New York Yankee, he broke the story originally first a couple of days ago. May Ricky Henderson rest in peace. But the bottom line is Dave Winfield, he isn't famous in my mind for being a New York Yankee. He's famous in my mind for being sued by Ruth Roper. Ruth Roper was Robin Gibbons' mother. Robin Gibbons was married to Mike Tyson for a while. Remember her? Robin, R-O-B-B-I-N apostrophe, not R-O-B-I-N. Bottom line is she was a piece of work. She took Mike Tyson for a lot of money. Her mother was Ruthless Ruth Roper. They sent me they'll probably send me some letters on this one too. They sent me a cease and desist letter to not call her Robin. In other words, I had to call her by her name, R-O-B-I-N, not R-O-B-B-I-N apostrophe. R-O-B-B-I-N apostrophe stands for robbing. 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 That's what I was calling her, Robbing Givens, okay? She wasn't getting off on it. And her mother, I was calling Ruthless Roper, Ruthless Ruth Roper. She wasn't getting off on that either. So I got a cease and desist letter when I was writing for Flash Magazine. I couldn't do this anymore. Took it to the lawyers. Lawyers said, tell him to kiss your butt. Bottom line is Ruthless Ruth Roper, she sued Dave Winfield for giving her herpes. That's what I remember. That was a big headline. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. We'll bring in the shot caller this next segment. Of course, we're talking about Sir Thomas Dillamuth of the Bronx. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network. And how the hell did Tyson Fury come in 30 pounds heavier than he did the last time? What kind of crap is that? Straight up, you're tuned to Ring Talk.
Want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the pharmacy shop. Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
I love spreading joy with gifts this time of year, but I try not to spread my budget too thin. Luckily, Kohl's has come through for me once again. I just went and used a 25% off coupon to score so many great gifts under $20, like cozy pajamas and fleece, amazing gift sets, and beauty must-haves. So if you're looking to give more for less this season, get to Kohl's. Select styles, offers end December 24th. Some exclusions apply. See store or kohls.com for details.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day. Featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Coming back with the AWB, of course, before I tell the story. The impeccable one, what are you doing for the holidays?
Yeah, I got some family coming in. My brother's flying up. Yeah.
Private planes? Private jets?
Something like that.
You live in Marin.
Yeah.
Spoiled. Anyway, best story I've heard in a long time about your car and homeless people, okay? This grower from Oakland, California told me the police called him one night and asked him to come down to his car. It was parked about a block away. When he got there, there were two semi-naked men, homeless men, standing next to the car. The cops told him the two were having sex in his car, and did they have permission? Okay? I'm laughing as I'm saying this because he was afraid of break-ins because he was afraid of his car getting broken into. He left his car unlocked. So these guys are sleeping or doing the deed in his car for every night for months. Bottom line is, I would have never gotten the car again, would you?
No way.
Tommy D, would you have gotten in that car again? Come again?
No shot.
That was it. And so I see him with the car. I saw him with the, he's a grower. He's a grower. That's what he does for a living. So I saw him with the car like about 2 weeks ago. I said to myself, man, I wouldn't get in that car ever again. I mean, they could tow that car away.
Yeah.
I mean, when you got two bums having sex in your car for months, you have no idea what's going on. Come on, man.
No shot. No.
I guess that's one of the advantages of driving, of having a limo and doing Uber, right?
Yeah, that is one of the advantages.
Okay, speaking of advantages, Tyson Fury, I thought, was going to come in much better condition than he did for the first fight. He came in 30 pounds heavier. What does that say about him?
I think it says that, you know, I don't know. There's a few things I've been thinking about when it comes to Fury. I always thought, you know, I thought he was a cheater. I thought there's always something up with him. You know, he came in, you know, when he beat Wilder in those three fights, you know, he came in, you know, bigger every time. And all of a sudden he had knockout power, which he never showed really before, that one punch knockout power. So, you know, I always thought he was weird. And then you would think a guy, his size and strength, put on more weight, he would use that to his advantage. And he didn't really try to use that to his advantage last night either. So not too sure what his whole strategy was, but it was kind of a repeat of the first fight, you know, but Usyk kind of like pushed him back on the back foot, you know, at times. And, you know, you're not allowed to happen. You're not supposed to let that happen. And it's like you always says, you know, size matters in two things, right?
Yeah, pornography and combat sports.
Fury didn't show that last night. So,
I do want to say this, you know, when I couldn't imagine, I'll say this again, I don't know what the height differential or the weight differential would be if you were to give me those type of advantages at junior welterweight. You know what I'm saying? That would probably have me coming in the ring against a guy maybe 126 pounds, maybe 122 pounds, as far as size and weight and size and height and weight's concerned. And I really don't think I'd have a problem with too many featherweights, not even the best featherweights in the world, but maybe Sanchez, people like that. But you know what I'm trying to say is that at 126, I could deal with it, but as far as Tyson Fury is concerned, he did not really try to impose his will. I mean, he should have roughed the smaller guy up, tried to push him around a little bit. He didn't try to do that. In other words, I didn't think he came to win. And then when he was screaming like Donald Trump afterwards that he won, you know, I didn't know how to take it. So I just, you know, in other words, Oleg Usyk moves on. But somebody said to me, you know, Usyk may be the best fighter in the world, pound for pound, that kind of good stuff. I don't know if that's true, but the bottom line is he's the best heavyweight. But what does that say about the heavyweight division right now? I mean, if he's it, what does that say about what does Oleg Usyk say? What statement is he making as heavyweight champion, Tommy D?
I think he's one of the best in the last 20 years. I think you got to give him the credit for that. You know, and then. As far as pound for pound, I guess you got to give him credit for that too. Is, you know, maybe top five pound for pound right now because he was undisputed at cruiserweight and moved up. Mm-hmm. So it's not like he's been a heavyweight his whole career, you know, and he's fighting bigger guys. Anthony Joshua, bigger guy, you know, Tyson Fury, you know, so.
And he beat, you know, he beat Daniel Dubois.
Yep, Daniel Dubois, Dubois. And they might fight again. Dubois came into the ring after the fight. So, and then he asked for that fight right away. So.
You know, that would be a hell of a fight. Let's let that go down, man. Let that go down. as far as...
No, I think it should happen next. Absolutely.
And guess what? I mean, the English will still crawl. The English will crawl through broken glass to see Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury do it. I don't care. Those guys will be 90 years old. They'll crawl through broken glass to see it.
No, I agree with you. So that's a fight they could make. They could put in the same card. You know, they could put Fury and Dubois, and then they could put Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua.
Okay, what'd you think? What was your overall impression of the card last night, as far as the Saudis were concerned, and they're promoting? I mean, you're watching this at home. What were you thinking? Now, I know you spent the money, as far as the pay per view is concerned. Don't laugh. I know your wife wouldn't allow you to steal anything like that. I know better than that. The agent's very straight up. I know I deal with her. But so the bottom line is, you bought this pay per view last night, and was it a good production?
You know, in full honesty, I didn't really watch the undercard. I really just was interested in the heavyweight fight. I wasn't really interested in any of the fights. I heard it was a decent, from what I read, I heard it was a decent card. It was some good fights, but honestly, I did not watch any of the fights.
Okay. 23-0 now, Oleg Usyk, 14 KOs. Of course, Tyson Fury now 34-2-1, 24 KOs. Tyson Fury is a gypsy, and I hate to dog an ethnic group or anything like that, but they're like the scummiest people on the planet. I mean, I don't know if I told you this, but gypsies out here, as a cop, I never come in contact in my life with a gypsy. It wasn't a crook, except for this guy that has a restaurant over in Berkeley, California, near the college. Outside of that, every gypsy I met is a crook. I had one gypsy hire me as a private investigator. He's in L.A., or she was in L.A., and she wanted me to watch a gypsy psychic on Haight Street here in San Francisco during the pandemic. I kid you not. So if she was a psychic, why would she need me to watch another psychic?
Exactly. Yeah, why would she need you to, if she already knew what was going to happen?
Exactly. I guess, was I there for confirmation? You know what's pretty funny about that surveillance gig was I was on Haight Street, and it was like, towards the end of the pandemic, and for some reason I'm sitting here in a tinted out car and I'm watching all these friends walk by, people that I know. I'm serious, and you can't get out of the car during surveillance. Hey, how are you? I mean, you know, it's sort of like be undercover in this and that. So all these people walk, I couldn't believe it, but there's one day four different people that I knew walked by my surveillance position there on Haight Street when I was watching those gypsies. And yes, I make the gypsies pay in advance, because you know the gypsies they hold you ransom on that Wi-Fi, don't they?
I don't know.
You don't know? No, wait. You aren't stealing. You are not stealing Wi-Fi from the gypsies?
Nope, absolutely not.
Okay, so the gypsies stealing it from you?
Maybe that's a high possibility.
High possibility. Canelo Alvarez is going to fight who in May?
Maybe you. Maybe I mean.
No,
you
know, listen. Bailey's in. But I got Bailey. Bailey's our guy now.
Yeah.
Bailey's
that's
our guy now.
I hope they make the call.
Pardon me?
That's a good payday for Bailey. Bailey, I hope they make the call. I hope he gets that fight.
Well, you know, he's willing to put on a few pounds to get it done, so there's no doubt about that, you know. So we're happy for that, and he'll make the money. But the bottom line is, he's supposed to be like the so-called poster boy of boxing. What's the poster boy of boxing going to do next? He was talking about fighting Conor Benn and Wembley Stadium. That talk sort of died down, huh?
Yeah, as far as I heard, that Conor Benn, who knows what Conor Benn is going to do? This guy, that's another guy that, you know, allegedly popped dirty as well. And, you know, I have no idea. Maybe he'll fight the guy that just beat Munguia, the French guy that beat Munguia last week.
Why do people have a problem with his name? And I'm stuttering. Bruno Saras. Bruno's pretty, listen, Bruno's the guy. I mean, maybe he ain't Bruno Mars yet. But that crap he pulled off there in Tijuana, that was Bruno Mars. That was pimp stuff. You know it was, right? He went down there. I mean, he had everything was stacked against him. I can't think of one advantage he had. Can you?
No, none at all. The guy came in and he wasn't supposed to be a puncher. And he went in there and didn't miss with a right hand. And he knocked the guy out, you know, knocked Munguia out. So I fully expect Canelo to call him out next and make that fight, because we know he won't fight, you know, Benavidez or even, you know, David Morrell. You know, he won't fight the winner of those two. We know that. So
okay, we'll be talking about depth in hour number two now. As far as the undercard is concerned, of course, the WBC 154-pound title eliminator, number two contender Sergey Bojcik, defeated late substitute Ishmael Davis 13-2. Ishmael went down there for the money, didn't he?
From what I heard, he did. Like, it was weird, and they said it was a weird stoppage as well. You know, so I didn't watch it. This is from what I read. But, I mean, good for Bolachek, you know, just to get a win and to stay active after, you know, I thought he got kind of hosed in his last fight. I thought he beat Virgil in the last fight. So,
unless they gave Davis a lot of money, it wasn't worth the trip.
No,
I'm serious. I mean, you know, listen, man, there's nothing worse than going over there making 20 grand or something like that, getting knocked out, having to take that long ride. That's a 14-hour flight home. You know how long that flight is? 14 hours.
Wow.
And you got your ass kicked? Oh, my God. 14. I remember I passed out in Dubai, took a sleeping pill, passed out in the airport in the airplane, this and that, and woke up 7 hours later to say to myself, yeah, I'm in San Francisco. I was still in Dubai. The plane had mechanical issues. And I slept 7 hours. Lady said, she goes, everybody else got off the plane. She goes, but I didn't want to wake you. I was like, anyway, that was my one and only trip to Dubai. That's why I'm sort of down on the Middle East. I went over there and the place was a piece of, it was nothing. I can't think of nothing positive in Dubai.
Well, I've never been there. I know you was trying to send me a sock over there.
Yeah, well, I wasn't expecting you guys to come back, and I would have insured you heavily.
Wow.
Anyway, Tommy D, as we you and I were number two, you and I are going to talk about the upcoming year in boxing, of course, and this past year, of course. What has happened in 2024? Who are the best boxers? Who are the best trainers? Who was the best manager? Is there a promoter standing out? But one question I got to ask you before I let you go and bring you back in hour number two. What happened to Al Haymon?
Nobody knows. He's kind of like disappeared. I mean, not that he's ever showed his face anyway, but nobody knows. And then, you know, the PBC, they signed on with Amazon Prime, and
yeah,
we thought we were going to get more fights, and we really didn't get more fights. Then the debacle with the tank fight was supposed to be December last week.
Yep.
And it got pushed up to now March. And, you know, they're saying the PBC doesn't have money. Who knows what's going on with that? You know?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate because Haymon had a pretty good little thing going there. I mean, you may not like his approach. You may not like the fact that he doesn't show his face in public. I think I've only seen him two or three times in my life. And one time I approached him, and some bodyguard guys like stepped in front of me. And you know what I did? You know what I did, Tommy D?
What?
I pushed the bodyguard aside.
Good.
I said, man, and he goes, man, I don't talk. That's what he said. I don't talk. So, you know, I mean, if you say, what can you say after that?
Yeah.
You know, but of course he was the man of mystery, the Harvard graduate, of course, the guy that came into boxing through the back door and made a lot of money through Floyd Mayweather. He guided him. And who was the other guy that guided Mayweather? Who's Mayweather's other right hand there?
Leonard Ellerbe,
right?
Yeah, Leonard Ellerbe. And he came through the music industry too.
Dude, now, you know what? Both those guys can just go back to the music industry, really. Take Puff Daddy with them.
Yeah.
Take Puff Daddy. Hey, you know I can't say nothing about Devin Haney. You know what's happening about that, right?
No, what happened?
Dr. Kirk, Dr. Raymond Kirk of the internet, the Facebook doctor, he's said that I'm suffering from Devin Haney derangement syndrome. So I can't talk about Devin Haney for 30 days. So I think I've got 6 or 7 days left before I can talk about Diddy's buddy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Anyway, Tommy D, we'll talk to you in hour number two. Hold tight.
You got it, bro.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back, finish this hour up, and come back with Tommy D in hour number two. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue, less drive, poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer.
800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. That's 800-773-5112.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Well, I'm on Ring Talk, and as you know, this is one of the first shows that got onto the internet. My friend Pedro is a true fighter in his own mind, I should say, but he really is. I seen him exercising the other day, getting ready for somebody. I don't know who it is, because everybody is taking shots at him, so I see him getting himself in good condition so that he could fire back. Never been one to say die, never been one to hide out. He comes on, damn near torpedoes, full steam ahead.
The wire-haired wonder, the aforementioned Don King. Of course, he and I were, he was the subject of a conversation I had a little bit earlier with the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant. But Don King was watching me work with Saul Mami, the former WBC junior welterweight champion. Of course, he was retired. I was retired. I think that was in like... That was at a WBC convention. We both went to we all went to the Times Square gym. I went to the workout, and I remember Don telling me, "Hey man, maybe I think about a boxing comeback." I said, "You out of your mind? I'm in my 30s. I'm old. You got to be crazy." I was just here working out. Bottom line is, Saul Mambi's birthday, I believe, just took place. He died in 2019. May he rest in peace. Good guy, no doubt about that. Was wonderful to me in the gym. I mean, just showed me things, and he was. I wish to God I had met him 10 or 12 years earlier when I was boxing. Straight up, I mean, when I was competitive. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA. Mentioned a little bit earlier, former WBC 154-pound interim title holder, Sergey Bojacek, defeated late substitute Ismael Davis with a six-round TKO. Stoppage is a little bit funny, 13-2. Now it's Davis, six KOs. Of course, Bojacek moves to 25-2, 24 KOs. A lot of people thought that he beat Vasquez in his last fight. That didn't happen. But the bottom line is, unbeaten number 13, Johnny the Bull Fisher, now 13-1, a controversial 10-round nod over David White Rhino Allen, 23-7, 18 KO. Sounds like an opponent. Fisher won the first four rounds, but Allen dropped Fisher in round five, then battered him for 2 minutes. Bottom line is, scores were 95-94, 95-94 Fisher, and 96-93 Allen. Bottom line is, things happen. Featherweight Leo McGregor won a 10-round unanimous nod over Team Fury member Isaac Lowe. Isaac Lowe, I thought, took a fight coming in, but he couldn't punch. 25-3-3, 8 KO straight up. Scores were 96-92, 97-91, and 97-91. That basically makes up the entire card yesterday as far as the Saudi Arabians are concerned. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hour number two, talk about the future and the past. The future and the past of boxing 2024 and 25. Straight up, stay tuned after the news.
Sports Shorts. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Geico Insurance and Geico.com. The first round of the new era 12-team college football playoff has concluded with the quarterfinals officially set. The Fighting Irish defeated Indiana 27-17 and now move on to play Georgia. After three interceptions, SMU could not come back against Penn State. Penn State wins it at home 38-10. They now move on to play Heisman runner-up Ashton Jeanty and Boise State. The battle between the Longhorns and the Tigers. Texas comes out on top in the first round of the playoffs, winning 38-24. They now gear up to play Arizona State in the quarterfinal. And Ohio State pulling out a dominant win over Tennessee, winning 42-17. The Buckeyes now face a big test as they face off against number one, Oregon. In the NFL, Chiefs remain almost perfect on their season as they add another win to their record, beating the Texans 27-19. Texans wide receiver Tank Dell was hospitalized after that game with a significant knee injury. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens get a big win over the Steelers, winning 34-17. Derrick Henry in that game had 24 carries for 162 yards. On the NBA scoreboard, Jason Tatum for the Boston Celtics drops 43 points in the Celtics win over the Bulls, 123-98. Bucks get a win over the Wizards, 112-101. Cavaliers improving their record with a win over the 76ers, 126-99. And the Knicks have a dominant win over the Pelicans, 104-93. That's your Sports Shorts presented by Geico Insurance. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern time. And weekend replays, 24-7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League. Presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
Sports in 60 times 2. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Geico and Geico.com. We are at week 16 in the NFL, a point in the season where some teams have waved the white flag, some teams are starting to rest key players if they have a playoff date sewn up, and there are few meaningful games left on the schedule. Even the week 18 Lions-Vikings potential thriller will lack the verve it would normally have if it were like the week 7 matchup of these two teams, as no one is going to expose their best players to potential injury just to get a better seed. Anyway, we're 9-5-1 against the spread, so let's go. Speaking of the 11-2 Vikings, I have a tremendous amount of respect for this team, and many would like to think it's purely the revival of Sam Darnold in their offense. But their defense, led by defensive coordinator Brian Flores, is what's got this team, along with Lions' injuries, to control their own destiny to win not only the NFC North, but the NFC's top seed. But many think the schedule left will be challenging for them to accomplish that. And I think it starts at Lumen Field in Seattle, where the Seahawks host the Norsemen in the late window on Sunday. Geno Smith is cleared to be at the helm for the Seahawks after leaving last week's game, one of his poor outings, versus Green Bay. I believe he will bounce back, and for the 8-6 Seahawks, who are tied for first place, they don't have the luxury of any letdown, as only two games separate first and last place in the tightly bunched NFC West. Minnesota has the edge on both sides of the ball, but this pick is purely situational. You'll have the complete attention of the Seahawks based on where they stand, and being at home all week will certainly make them the fresher of the two teams. The Vikings have to hop on a plane to the West Coast off a short week after playing on Monday night while coming off a divisional game and having two big divisional games on deck with Green Bay and Detroit. Seahawks plus the 3. Sports in 60 times 2. Presented by Geico and Geico.com. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern time. And weekend replays, 24-7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League. Presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water. and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTSOVERNIGHTAMERICA.
Welcome back to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. This is hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. I've been doing this a little while, 40 years now, knocking out bums for four decades. That's right, 40 years. Been knocking out bums since 1984. Straight up, my name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, and I'm an award-winning boxer. So I bring a unique combination of dance. In fact, I go up to the strip club and watch the pay-per-view fights because I don't want to buy them on pay-per-view. Now, do you buy the pay-per-view? Who's buying the pay-per-view? The impeccable one, I think he watches on binoculars through a couple people's windows. Bottom line is, I don't think anybody's buying the pay-per-views, and I don't know how they're coming up with these numbers that they do. I don't know, maybe the squares are, but the bottom line is everybody I know has an alternative to buy fights, to watch fights and not buy them. So that's just the way it is in 2024 as we approach 2025. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing. Of course, last night, the world heavyweight champion doing his thing. I'm talking about Oleg Usyk, now 23 and zip. Of course, a 12-round decision win over Tyson Fury. 8-4 was the scorecards across, as far as rounds were concerned. 8-4 in rounds. 116-112 as far as points were concerned. Tyson Fury loses his second fight to Oleg Usyk. Of course, he also lost to Francis Ngannou. But the boxing establishment, those judges, wink, wink, were not about to give the MMA guy a win over the boxing heavyweight champion. Absolutely no way, not in his debut bout. Bottom line is, Ngannou was robbed, but he made a lot of money. He made a lot of money, like $25 million for Tyson Fury. Then he made another $25 or $30 million for Anthony Joshua. So more power to Francis Ngannou, who made like $50 million bucks in two fights. He couldn't make that with Dana. Of course, Dana White, a.k.a. The Pimp, not my favorite guy, but he's promoting. He's got a card coming up on UFC Fight Pass. We'll talk about that. But the bottom line is, you know, he's successful, and boxing promoters aren't. We talked in hour number one about what happened to Al Haymon, premier boxing champion. He just sort of disappeared off the face. Not that he was the most visible guy to begin with. Of course, he was sort of like undercover. He would come to his fights, but you'd rarely see him, and you never knew where he was going to sit and all this kind of good stuff. And I said to him, when I went up to him one time, I don't talk. That's what he told me. I don't talk. I've never had a guy tell me I don't talk before. I've had a guy tell me get the duck out of my face, but now I don't talk. But the bottom line is, he was polite, but he didn't talk. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA 2024.
Spreading joy with gifts this time of year, but I try not to spread my budget too thin. Luckily, Kohl's has come through for me once again. I just went and used a 25% off coupon to score so many great gifts under $20, like cozy pajamas and fleece, amazing gift sets, and beauty must-haves. So if you're looking to give more for less this season, get to Kohl's. Select styles, offers end December 24th. Some exclusions apply. See store or kohls.com for details.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free.
So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
It's the holiday season, and Mexico's number one beer is here, Corona Extra Beer. Enjoy it responsibly during the holiday season. And enjoy our road shows on Sports Overnight America here on Sports Byline Broadcast. We'll have reporters fanned out across the country at all the major bowl games. The first ever college football championship on Sports Byline in Sports Overnight America. Presented by Corona Beer. Mexico's number one beer is here. Distributed by Crown Distributors, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Can I just
go for it?
One postscript. After that fight, I thought of something the great sports writer Red Smith once wrote. If you want to find out who won a close fight, ask a 9-year-old kid.
Larry Merchant talking about the inept scoring, of course. A couple of weeks ago, Nelson Vasquez from Puerto Rico, he was like an unbelievable. Here's what's up. These judges, when they come up with bad scores, you don't give them another assignment. You get rid of them, right? Not in boxing. They get another assignment. Straight up, let's look at some of the stuff that Frank 1961 is sending to me. December 18th, 1999, Julio Cesar Chavez stops Buck Smith in the third round. Buck Smith, a fixture on ESPN cards, had a record of 179-13 going into the bout. Buck retired with a record of 182-20 losses, 182 wins and 20 losses and 24 no contests. Despite so many fights, Buck never won a world title. I'm sure that would not have been the case. Listen, Buck was a fraud. Let me tell you how much of a fraud Buck was. Sorry about that, Frank, but the bottom line is he was a stone-cold fraud. He went down to Tijuana, Mexico, and he fought a guy named Jorge Kawagi. Kawagi had never won a fight legitimately. Every fight that he had was fixed. Every fight that he has was, I saw his fight. I saw one fight, it was so fixed, it was unbelievable. The guy took a dive in the first round. He looked like he was like a wrestler taking a dive. It was really, 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 it was a bad dive, okay? But Kawagi stops Buck Smith in the first round. But get this, I was told going into the fight that Buck Smith had a plastic surgery, and actually Kawagi's team had Buck Smith cut by a plastic surgeon before the fight. They had a plastic surgeon going there with a razor blade and cut him under one eye and cut him over one eye. I kid you not. That's the way I was told. And Buck Smith has never denied it. I've asked him a couple times. He sort of skirted around it. But the bottom line is, Buck Smith is a bit of a stiff. Yeah, he fought a lot of guys. And he's got a good record as far as the overall numbers are concerned. But the bottom line is, I thought he was a bit of a fraud. That's just my personal opinion. I think he was one of those guys that came to us from the Scott Gibbons, Sean O'Grady stable there in Oklahoma. Of course, guys that, man, you know, Dwayne Swift, all those guys all took dives. I mean, as far as dives were concerned, I don't think that Sean O'Grady took any dives because his father was a promoter. But guess what? A lot of the guys he fought were took dives because one guy in particular that Sean fought, and I think he fought him first in Oklahoma City, and he fought him in Tulsa. He fought him in two spots in Oklahoma, but he fought the guy under two different names. There was a guy who was Jose Martinez in one fight, was Frank Martin in the next fight, okay? So it was two different names, but the same guy was wearing the same, you know, same guy wearing different trunks. So Sean knew what time it was, okay? And a lot of those fights on Sean O'Grady's record, the bubblegum kid, call him what you want, former WBA lightweight champion. Of course, he beat Hilmer Kenty for the title, no doubt about that. It was a great win, but Hilmer Kenty had some weight issues going in. But Sean O'Grady was a great fighter, there's no doubt about it. But a lot of the fights that he had were fixed and or orchestrated, choreographed, call them what you want. But his father, Pat O'Grady, was such a piece of spit. When I say spit on the show, I mean, when I say it with a vengeance, I mean spit with an H, okay? Spit with an H. His father, after having this Mexican guy, this Mexican immigrant, wetback, call him what you want, but that's what they called him, okay, had him come in and fight his kid three or four times. He had the kid deported. He called the INS. This is back in the days when the immigration, if you told them it was an immigrant, an illegal immigrant, they come and make a raid, especially if you told them they were Iranians. But the bottom line is, if you told them they were Mexicans, they would come and raid. So they came and arrested this guy. They took him to jail. They deported him the whole nine yards. He never got paid a dime for any of the O'Grady fights. And Sean knew what time it was, okay? I mean, you had to know. I mean, you got to figure this out. I'm going to fight the impeccable one. He's wearing blue trunks one night. He's wearing red trunks the next night. Black trunks. Still the impeccable one. It's still the same guy. Okay, and you're still knocking this guy out, so something's up. Bottom line is, Sean knew what was going on, but Jorge Kawagi and Dwayne Swift and Buck Smith is all that kind of good stuff. I don't have a whole lot of respect for them. Buck Smith got stopped 9 times in 20 losses. We had a couple of draws. Somebody said he had 26 no contests, 183 wins with 121 knockouts. You know, that's impressive as far as the numbers are concerned. But who did he fight? Not too many guys. I mean, bottom line is he didn't fight anybody. Now, according to the IBF, the International Boxing Federation, or I call it the International Black Federation, of course, you know why they got started. I talked about that many times. The fact was Bob Lee, former New Jersey State Athletic Commission director, he decided that the sanctioning bodies of the WBA, which were sanctioning, basically were catering to fighters from South America, okay, and Africa to an extent in the 80s and the 90s. And then, of course, the WBC, which is all about Mexicans, WBC, the World Boxing Council, okay? So they're all about Mexicans. The WBA was all about South Americans. So Bob Lee came up with an idea that he had to start a sanctioning body that benefited black fighters. So they came up with the International International Boxing Federation. So that's how that got started. But speaking of Bob Lee, of course, Bob Lee was later implicated in the bribery scandal. Of course, when Doug Beavers, the head of the IBF Ratings Committee, of course, he was also head of the Virginia Boxing Commission, but he sat down in front of a television with the FBI in the other room. The FBI was recording this through the TV, and he gave Bob Lee a bribe, said it was from Don King. And one bribe was done from Don King. They called him Fuzzy Wuzzy. That's how they never got Don, because they called him Fuzzy Wuzzy. So they never said Don King's actual name. Yeah, here's the money from Fuzzy Wuzzy, and here's the money from the fat man. The fat man was Cedric Kushner. May he rest in peace. But the bottom line is, he was like 450 pounds. So the fat man was Cedric Kushner. Fuzzy Wuzzy, because of the hair, was Don King. And that's why they never got popped for the bribery. They paid the bribes, but they never got popped for them, because they never got, their names were never really officially released. I mean, the government knew who it was. They could have put one and one together. But of course, Bob Arum was at the forefront of all that. Of course, former United States attorney, boxing promoter at top rank, Don King's main adversary, no doubt about that. And I think that when it all went down with Bob Lee, and Bob Lee bribed when Bob Arum bribed Bob Lee to put George Foreman and Axel Schultz together for a title fight, okay, that was sort of like Bob Arum documented that. And then, of course, when the fight went down later, the fight went down, and then, of course, the IBF became under scrutiny. Who was there to show him these affidavits? Good old Bob Arum. In other words, it was okay to bribe, but I'm also there to snitch as well. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, Usyk underweight by 55 pounds and still, you know, that was still a credible performance, no doubt about that. You got to give the little guy props. I don't call him a little guy, but, you know, compared to Tyson Fury, he is a little guy. And I wouldn't have let, I'm still of the opinion that if I was Tyson Fury, I think I would have won. I just don't think I would. I think I would have just threw him around him and beat him up. I mean, but maybe it's easier said than done. Maybe it's one of those cases where it's easier said than done. But at the end of the day, I think that, you know, Oleg Usyk did, he performed well, and there's no doubt about that. I think one of the promoters was Frank Warren that said he thought Fury won. Isn't Frank Warren with Fury? Yeah, I think so. I think Barry Hearn has got. Who's got Oleg Usyk? Who's got him right now? Somebody send me a note on that one. 1-800-878-PLAY. Of course, coming up fights, as far as the coming up fights were concerned, the UFC Fight Pass, I mentioned a little bit earlier, with Dana White getting in the boxing. He's got a featherweight bout. Mike Plania taking on Omar Trinidad. It's the UFC Fight Pass, January 17th. I don't know where that's coming from. And on January the 8th, The Peacock is coming back with boxing, a women's card, of course, on top of the WBC female 135-pound championship. Carolyn Dubois, or Carolyn Dubious, however you want to pronounce it, taking on Jessica Kamara. It's going to be January 11th on the Peacock. Of course, January 8th on DAZN, Jaya Pattaya taking on Hussein Sankara. That's for the IBF Cruiserweight title. A lot of people think that Jaya, the Australian, or from down that way, of course, Wales, bottom line is they think that he has a good chance of being the best cruiserweight in the world. But what does that mean? Of course, you've got a cruiserweight champion now that's the heavyweight champion of the world. Talk about Oleg Usyk. Of course, he was the undisputed cruiserweight champion. I put him down a lot. I knocked him a lot. But the bottom line is you can't knock that performance last night. You just can't. I thought he did enough. Of course, and the fights and the rounds weren't like real one-sided rounds. Like I think according to CompuBox, no round was like more than five or six punches the other way. So the rounds were all close as far as the numbers thrown were concerned. But the numbers that landed, I thought that Usyk landed better shots. And, of course, Tyson Fury, as big as he was flubbery. I can't believe he went into that flubbery. I mean, I thought he was going to come into this fight the best shape of his life. He came in like 35 pounds heavier than he was the last time. What? I don't get it. Like David Tua, when David Tua fought Lennox Lewis for the World Heavyweight Championship, right? He came in like almost 230 pounds. His prime fighting weight was 215. That 15 or 16 pounds that he put on, okay, that he couldn't close the gap. He wasn't fast enough to close the gap anymore. He couldn't, because you're the shorter guy, you got to close the gap against the bigger guy, right? He couldn't close the gap against Lennox Lewis because of the fact that he was heavy. He went from the throwing Samoan to the slowing Samoan. Of course, guys gain weight. They think they're macho. They don't have to lose weight because they're heavyweights. Because I don't have a weigh-in, things like that. No. But you should come in at your best fighting weight. And David Tua was a guy that didn't come in at his best fighting weight. In fact, I think he celebrated a birthday a couple weeks ago. Without a doubt, I televised maybe the greatest heavyweight fight in HBO history when he and Ike Abeyabuchi went 12 rounds. Of course, a 12-round fight up there in Sacramento, California. I think it was the Arco Arena. Don Chargan and Dan Duva promoted that. But I did the television all by myself, and it was like an unbelievable fight. A record number of punches thrown, probably outside of maybe the thrill in Manila, maybe the greatest heavyweight fight in all time. I'm serious. Ike Abeyabuchi, of course, he just got out of jail about 6 or 8 months ago. He's like 55 years old, something like that. He wants to announce a comeback. Good luck with that. Straight up, you're tuned to Ring Talk.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-425-2317. 800-425-2317. That's 800-425-2317.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
One last question. At the end of your life, whether it was Allah who was saying it, Elijah Muhammad, or whether it was something that someone wrote about you after you'd gone, what's the thing you would most like people to say about your life? He was a great champion or what? What would you like people to think about you when you've gone?
I'd like for them to say he took a few cups of love. He took one tablespoon of patience, one teaspoon of generosity, one pint of kindness. He took one quart of laughter, one pinch of concern, and then he mixed willingness with happiness. He added lots of faith, and he stirred it up well. Then he spread it over a span of a lifetime, and he served it to each and every deserving person he met.
Muhammad Ali, thank you very much.
You know, you haven't been around anybody or been with anybody until you spend some time around Ali. It's unequaled. I mean, people talk about presidents and things like that. I don't think so. He was the greatest. He was the most well-known figure on the planet, no doubt about that. When I got to be his bitch, for lack of a better word, in a couple of trips to China and Asia, I mean, that was the honor of a lifetime. I mean, I'm not living off that, but I'm just telling you that every day I get up, I say to myself, man, those were really good times with Ali. It just was. I mean, and then I would see him afterwards, and of course, he signed that picture for me. He signed a picture to Pedro, love Muhammad Ali, and he never wrote love on another autograph I've ever seen in my life. So look around the internet. You won't see any picture, I don't think, of Muhammad Ali signing love Muhammad Ali. Bottom line is, that wasn't Muhammad Ali in the ring last night. That was Oleg Usyk. Of course, Oleg Usyk and Tyson Fury, and the former heavyweight champion of the world, Lennox Lewis, of course, you know, he is a guy that 1988 Olympic gold medalist, of course, guy that would have beat Riddick Bowe to death. Riddick Bowe, of course, dumped the WBC heavyweight title championship belt in a London garbage can, said he didn't want to fight Lennox Lewis. He refused to fight Lennox Lewis. It was a bit of a chicken job by Riddick Bowe, no doubt about that. But it cost him because, you know, he lost the title. And, of course, Riddick Bowe, how can I put this? Riddick Bowe was a guy that never really got too disciplined. I sort of figured things were a little bit soft in his life when he told me that he was building a kitchen in his bathroom. No, a kitchen, not thinking about it, a kitchen in his bedroom. I kid you, he had like his two-story house, I forget what it was, down in the south, but he built a kitchen and a bathroom in his bedroom. And he said to me, why do I have to go downstairs to eat? Okay, that's cool. I'd deal with that. Bottom line is, he turned out to be a pig. Now, let's go back to the former heavyweight champion. Lennox Lewis weighed in on last night's fight, and this is what he had to say.
Here with Lennox Lewis. What'd you make of Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk's performance tonight?
I think I like the first fight better. This was a good fight as well, very close. You know, when it comes to heavyweight boxing and somebody's beat you the first time, you gotta go after him the second time. I felt Tyson Fury should have went after him a little bit more, and it would have been a different outcome.
I thought in the 10th round he was holding and mugging him, getting good work inside. I thought that's what the whole fight would look like. Are you surprised by the game plan of Fury?
No, I'm not surprised. You know, whatever their game plan was, mine would have been different, but whatever their game plan was, it didn't work. I felt that he needed to do a lot more work. You know, go after him a bit more, press forward a little bit more. But, you know, it was overall a great fight.
Where do you think Fury goes from here?
There's other great fights for him out there, you know. It really depends on Fury, whether he wants to continue or if he wants to fight on.
We know that Joshua waits in the wings. That's still a massive fight in England. After what you saw tonight, who do you think wins that fight?
I don't know. Styles make fights, that's for sure, definitely.
We saw Dubois get in the ring and challenge Usyk to a rematch. What do you think that happens if that fight does go down, assuming Dubois gets past Parker?
Well, I would think about the fight with Parker first, and then afterwards think about Usyk.
But you as an analyst can think about Usyk Dubois now.
Yeah, I can, but I don't want to.
Lennox Lewis, 1988, of course, Olympic gold medalist and former undisputed world heavyweight champion. Now, speaking of world heavyweight champions, Dana White, of course, is a piece of work in my mind, but the bottom line is I got to give him props. Let me tell you some of the numbers he's put up in the last couple of months. October 5th in Salt Lake City put 17,000 people in the arena. He went over to Alberta, Canada, packed 16,000 people into that arena. He went to New York City, packed 20,000 people in Madison Square Garden, 20,200. He went to Galaxy Arena in China, in Macau, where I drew 400 people back in 1994. He drew 12,615 people. Then he went to Las Vegas. He drew 18,000 people for the Pangoa fight. That was UFC 310. Of course, UFC on ESPN, Covington versus Buckley, that drew 18,000 people in Tampa, Florida. So the bottom line is Dana White's drawing people. He's getting butts in there. I may despise him. I dislike him. In fact, I think if he was dying and he needed mouth-to-mouth, I'd say to him, hey, tough, Dana, I'm not giving it to you. But the bottom line is, you know, I mean, he's really doing a good job as far as promoting his product. I'm not down with the way he does it. I think he's a pimp. I think he takes advantage of guys. I think that by the time a man or a woman gets to the upper level of the UFC, they're so beat up they can only last a couple of fights. I mean, the mere fact that the World Heavyweight Championship, the record for heavyweight title defenses was 3 title defenses, and that was put forth by Stipe Miocic, who was a former Golden Glove boxer, not really an MMA guy. So the bottom line is, you know, you just can't. Guys take such ass whoopings and girls take such ass whoopings and such beatings and such beat breakdowns, and as far as training and fights are concerned, it ain't like boxing. I mean, you can box 8 or 10, 12 fights, have nice, you know, have decent opponents, this and that, learn your skill, this and that. You can't do that in the world of mixed martial arts. Dana doesn't allow you to do that. In fact, when you get in there, it's mostly a death match. Almost every time it's a death match. And Dana White, of course, loves that. He's had guys come out of there with half their skulls opened up and this kind of good stuff, and he's called it brave and the kind of good stuff. I've called it stupid. But then again, brave, Dana's packing up these numbers, man. I can't say enough. Of course, in 18,000 people in September when he had the spear, of course, he did 16,000 people up against Canelo Alvarez. Of course, that was Canelo the same day that Canelo fought in Las Vegas, and he beat Canelo as far as the numbers were concerned. I mean, come on, man. The guy's kicking ass. I don't like him. I think he's a piece of work and all that kind of good stuff. And I said if he was dying, he needed a mouth-to-mouth, I would just stare down at him. So that's sorry, Dana, I don't like you. But the bottom line is, you know, he is probably the best promoter in the world right now as far as promotion of a product is concerned. Now, a promoter, in my mind, also looks out for their athletes. He doesn't do that. Of course, he don't give a spit about him. Of course, some of these guys, there are UFC legends like Chuck Liddell. You don't see Chuck Liddell anymore. What about Randy Couture, the former heavyweight champion? You don't see him anymore. How come you don't see these guys as far as these? I mean, the only one you do see is Daniel Cormier. That's the only guy that they've sort of kept together. He's got his mind together. The rest of these guys are scrambled from MMA. I mean, you can't get hit like that and expect to recover. You just can't. You get hit when you're on the ground. Some guy kicks you when you're on the ground. They kick you in the head. It's kind of good stuff. You don't recover from that good stuff. And I don't think you recover from the slaps either. Of course, I think that that's appalling. I think that's violent. I think that's beyond violent. You're slapping each other. I mean, a prone person going to slap another prone person. You know, my mother should have been in that championship because she slapped me one time so hard my ears rang for 3 days. But the bottom line is, you know, slap fights, come on, you know, and now this bare-knuckle stuff, all this bare-knuckle stuff's taken off. Austin Trout, former WBA junior middleweight champion out of New Mexico, he's talking about doing this full bare-knuckle fight full-time. I mean, good Lord, why would somebody want to do that? I don't get it. I don't think the reward's there. Maybe it is. Maybe they're paying a lot of money. Of course, the International Fight League over there, they're paying Ngannou a lot of money, but outside of that, who's really got the money? Dana's not paying the money in MMA. There's no doubt about it. I mean, John Jones made a few bucks. I think John Jones had an extra incentive in his contract, and he was about to retire if Dana White didn't give him what he wants anyway. Speaking of John Jones, it looks like him and Francis Ngannou We'll hook it up sometime in 2025. That's what I'm predicting. And that Dana White will have no part of it. This is the way it is. Dana, listen, Dana has alienated himself with a lot of people, including me. But the bottom line is, you know, if you don't have to deal with him, you don't have to deal with him. And people don't have to deal with Dana. They shouldn't have to. Bottom line is Dana's got a card coming up. Looks like UFC Fight Night. Dern versus Rebus 2, that's going to go down January 11th, the UFC Apex. The next big card they got is the Intuit Dome. That's going to be in Inglewood, California. Is that the old forum now? UFC 311, that's going to go down on January 18th. February 1st, he's got Israel Adesanya coming back. That's for UFC Fight Night on ESPN. That's coming to us from Saudi Arabia. Then he goes on UFC 312, February 9th. That's coming from Sydney, Australia. Duplessis versus Strickland 2. Of course, in UFC Fight Night going down February 15th, UFC Apex back in Las Vegas. They have a little small crowd there. A small little tiny arena. Anyway, it's like a TV stage. It's like a TV studio for MMA. And of course, UFC Fight Night 252, the Climate Pledge Arena. That's going to go down February 22nd, 2025 in Seattle, Washington. Speaking of Seattle, I think I'm going up to Tacoma to see Kingsley Ibe fight. Kingsley Ibe is going to be fighting up there. Of course, he beat the hometown guy up there by a first-round knockout about a month and a half ago. And of course, he's been on the show not once but twice. And of course, I think I'm going to go up there and see him and Mike Sapaya. Mike Sapaya is his partner and his boxing buddy and this and that. And when I was a kid, I said the story before, but the black guy started a race riot when Martin Luther King was assassinated, okay? So there was this big race riot going on in the school, in our son elementary school, right? So Mike Sapaya all by himself shut down the entire black contingent of the school, like 8 or 9 guys. He had them all running into the park, I kid you not. So straight up, Mike Sapaya is a hell of a guy. And he's got Kingsley Ibe. Kingsley Ibe is now 16-2. He's got a good knockout record. And guess what? He's looking to fight the best. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Coming back with Tommy D after the break.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of 2 or 3 pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands, guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long.
Superfly, Tommy D's in the house from the Bronx. How the heck are you, Tommy D? Hour number two.
I'm doing well, man. I can't complain. You know, I'm staying indoors rather than outdoors because it's really cold today.
It's really cold. How cold is really cold?
It's about, I think it's 17 degrees.
You know what? Me and the Peckleborn are bitching about, like, when it gets down to 50 out here, we're, like, screaming. It goes to 49 degrees, 48 degrees. We're, like, thinking about moving somewhere. I kid you not. 17 degrees. Oh, my God. I was in China one time. The sun was shining, and I was in my hotel room. I got in the night before, and it looked like a beautiful day outside. So I dressed up like Don Johnson, Miami Vice, with no socks and that kind of good stuff, and went downstairs and got into a limo. And it took us to Tiananmen Square, and they pushed us out of the car at Tiananmen Square, and it was 17 degrees with the sun shining.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell? Yeah, my little ankles were freezing. All right, I got to ask you this. In the history of boxing, I can't remember, at least in my tenure, and, you know, go back a little while, I can't remember any time when two Japanese fighters were in the top 10 pound for pound. I'm talking about Hunto Nakatani, 26 years old, 29-0. Of course, the monster, 28-0. Nanoa Inoue, 31 years old. Now, I was talking with Rudy Hernandez, chatting with him back and forth. Of course, Rudy trains Nakatani. He said that Nakatani is not even on Inoue's radar. He doesn't even think about it, won't consider him. He has sort of laid out his fights the next couple of years, and he hasn't got anywhere. Nakatani's not on the agenda. Is Nakatani being ducked?
I don't know. I mean, you would think that's a fight they can make easily because they're both Japanese guys, both undefeated fighters. You know, they're different weight classes, but what, a few pounds?
4 pounds. Nakatani's willing to move up to 122.
Yeah, it sounds like a duck. I mean, why not make that fight? That fight sells, especially over there in Japan.
You know, Nakatani had that crazy knockout. I can't remember who he knocked out last year, but he knocked this guy out in Arizona on television. I mean, that was, wow. I mean, Japanese fighters they're not the upper echelon of boxing for the most part. I mean, a lot of times the WBA would put forth these Japanese champions, but once they fought a guy that could really fight, they get knocked over like a bowling pin.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, except for when the Masa Inoue, he's fought a couple American fighters, and he's made it look fairly easy. He beat Stephen Fulton last year. And Stephen Fulton was an undefeated fighter who previously beat two undefeated fighters before that. He beat Figueroa, and I can't remember the other guy. So, I mean, that was a quality win, and he made it look easy. In a way, not last fight, the fight before that, he got dropped, I believe, for the first time, but he ended up stopping the guy. So, I mean, Inoue's been tested. I mean, it's always said that these guys that fight overseas and out of the country, they some people will say they never fight anybody, but you know, sometimes I think that's a little bit unfair, you know, because what do you think the people overseas, you know, in the UK and Japan think about the American fighters? If they say the same thing, they haven't fought anybody because they only fought in the United States. So I think it's a little bit unfair. I think Inoue's fought twice in Vegas. You would think, like, if any big fights came, they could do that there. But Nakatani and Inoue is the fight to make right now.
I mean, that would fill up the Tokyo Dome in a heartbeat, man. In fact, you know what? I think that you and I would even think about going over for that.
Yeah, if I got the pass from the agent, yeah, I definitely would go, you know?
I mean, that's – holy cow. I mean, that's the – you know what? I don't know if I told you this, but boxing in Japan, you'll be the only one that's screaming. The rest of the crowd, they're sitting there like they're on Valium. Like they got to go to the bathroom or something like that. They don't say a word. It's like they're waiting in line to go to the bathroom. I kid you not. It's like, what's going on here, man? I mean, I was at Corricon Hall. There was this great fight going on, and people around, I was jumping up and down from my seat. This and people around me going, who is this guy?
Yeah, it is a little awkward. They don't cheer until, like, I guess the fight is over or the round's over. Or it's, you know, I guess it's a respect thing over there.
Well, the Mike Tyson meltdown at the hands of Buster Douglas, of course, they witnessed that, and they were in shock. I don't think they knew how to react.
Yeah, I don't think they did. It's definitely a sight to see. It is very interesting, the respect they have. They cheered both fighters.
Yeah.
Obviously I've seen a few recently because of Inoue and his fighting guys, you know, not from Japan, and they treat them with the utmost respect. You know, unlike over here, they may, you know, trash you.
Do you know why Buster Douglas was in the condition he was for Mike Tyson?
Well, I know one of the things, you know, his mom had passed away, right?
Let that go. You know what it was? You know what the real motivating factor was?
No.
He was scared that Mike Tyson was going to beat the spit out of him. He was, they were J.D. McCauley, one of the trainers, and John Johnson, the manager, they were scared to death of Mike Tyson. Good Lord, come on, man.
Yeah, but if you're scared to death of the guy and he got dropped, he got back up.
No, you're not seeing my point. What I'm trying to say is he was a 41 underdog. Oh, and here's what happened. They were supposed to fight in November of 1989, and they canceled the fight until February 1990, so they gave Buster another 2 months to train.
Okay.
Everything worked out for Buster. His mother dying, got motivated by that. Of course, not the most disciplined guy in the world. I went back there and spent a week with him in Columbus, Ohio. He did nothing but eat.
Yeah, he ballooned up to like 400 pounds.
Oh man, I said to him, wait. It was like eight. He ate something at the house before he came to the office. Okay, so he came to the office. We ate something about 9 o'clock. They brought some breakfast in, eggs, that's bacon, sausage, that kind of crap. Then about lunch, his trainer J.D. McCauley ran a barbecue, so he'd send over some ribs. But wait, that wasn't it. Then we'd go out for lunch.
Oh my God.
Okay, wait, we're not done. We kick back a little while, then what are we gonna do tonight? Well, let's go kick back, let's go take a shower and meet up tonight. Okay, we meet up tonight. What are we doing? What are we meeting up for? You think we're meeting up for chicks? No, we're meeting up to eat.
Hey. Okay,
that's all that dude did was eat when I was back there, man. I couldn't get him to do anything. I finally got him to go to his high school. But that I had to twist his arm to get him to do that for a publicity shot.
Wow. I know that after he beat Tyson, because I'm a big wrestling fan, Tyson was scheduled to go on WWF to Saturday's Night Main Event to be like a special referee or something. Uh-huh. And they immediately got rid of him and they switched him for Buster Douglas. So he was able to, you know, get a payday out of that. And then he came up, and that's when he ballooned up. And
talk about a guy that just pissed away an opportunity. He did. I mean, the Holyfield fight. I think he took a dive. I was there when he went down. This night, he sort of like covered up his eyes because the light was shining in his eyes. So, you know, and I remember telling him, ask Mills Lane. Mills Lane was my broadcast barber for Let's Get It On Boxing with Al Bernstein for a long time. And I asked Mills, I said, did he take a dive, Mills? He goes, well, he certainly didn't try to get up.
That's well said without saying it.
He certainly didn't try to get up. Of course, talking about James Buster Douglas throwing that wild uppercut against Evander Holyfield, I guess it was a third round outdoors at the Mirage Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. Of course, Steve Wynn gave Buster Douglas $24 million for that fight. And, of course, Buster took a dive and didn't prepare. Of course, the best one about Buster was when I was kicking back, I had a chick in the California Pizza Kitchen at the Mirage Hotel. I used to give her big money to get a table. You know what I'm saying? So I have to wait in line. Pedro's here. Anyway, I would give her money, this and that. So she sits me down. She goes, guess what? I go, what? She goes, Buster Douglas is here. I go, where's he at? She goes, he's in the sauna. I said, he's here. He's in the sauna. What are you talking about? She goes, he's in the sauna. I said, how do you know? She goes, because they delivered three pizzas to him just now. I said, what? He's in the sauna losing weight and he's getting pizzas delivered to him? He goes, yeah. So anyway, I get around, you know, leave the restaurant, end up going into the gym and this and that, the workout area around the Mirage Hotel. And I get into the steam room, this and that, and Buster and them walk out the steam room. This is I'm coming in, and the three pizza boxes are there.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. So here he was, 239 pounds, the heaviest of his career as far as, I think probably not the heaviest career, but as far as Mike Tyson's career, he could gain like 20 pounds, 15, 20 pounds, and that wasn't nothing but fat. And you know, he took the dive. He wasn't ready. He didn't prepare himself. He didn't care. I've never seen a guy that didn't care. He didn't care about being world heavyweight champion. He just, I don't know how to explain it, man. I spent 2 weeks around this guy, and I couldn't figure him out.
Well, what was it? Did he, I mean, after the Tyson fight, he got paid good for the Holyfield fight.
He got paid good for the Holyfield. He got paid $24 million and quit.
Wow. So maybe it was just that. He was happy to get the money, and that was it. Because before that, he's fought two quality fighters, maybe a little old, overrated Oliver McCall and Trevor Burbick.
Tony Tucker lit him up, didn't he?
Tony Tucker, I think before that, yeah, he did. Yeah. He knocked him out. Yep.
Okay. Now, Nono Inoue is a Japanese fighter. If he was an American fighter, would he be the face of boxing?
I think so.
I don't see why
he would. I mean, what's out there now? I mean, the one that's likable now here in the States
is
Bam Rodriguez. Bam Rodriguez is very likable. A lot of people seem to like him. Mm-hmm. And I have him probably at number two or number three as pound for pound.
You know what's funny is let's go through the top 10 pound for pound. Take that back to top 12, top 13 pound for pound. Reason why I did it is Usyk is ranked number 13 by BoxRec. The No Inoue, number one. Saul Alvarez, number two. Number three, Gervonta Davis. Number four, Terrence Crawford. Number five, Artur Beterbiev. Number six, Hunzel Nakatani. Number seven, Dmitry Bivol. Number eight, David Benavidez. Maybe an on that one too. Shakur Stevenson. Jaron Ennis, I don't know. Jaron isn't delivering. Devin Haney, I can't say anything about him for another week.
I was waiting for you to get to him.
Were you waiting for me to get to him?
Yeah, because I'm looking at the same thing you're looking at the box rec.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't wait till he gets to Devin Haney in my head. And he said, I can't say
anything. I can't say anything about Devin. Listen, man, I'm under a doctor's orders. I can't do it, man. I'm suffering from the Devin Haney derangement syndrome, that kind of stuff. All right? I didn't know what it was, but this doctor on the internet, Dr. Raymond Kirk from Facebook, he diagnosed me, and he's treating me now. We're going through therapy and things like that. So I've got about a week left before I start talking about Diddy's buddy. Okay, Jaron Ennis, the aforementioned Devin Haney, Jesse Rodriguez, number 12, number 13, Oleg Usyk. Terrence Crawford, disappointing in his last fight to you?
A little bit, but that's what happens when you're inactive. You know, when you're not, you know, and look, that was his only fight this year.
But he fought a guy that was only at 10 fights.
10 fights, another Russian.
They rushed that Russian in.
That guy, is he supposed to fight Virgil?
Is it him and Virgil supposed to go back and forth now?
I think so. I think that's his next fight. I think that Virgil Ortiz is supposed to fight.
Yeah, it looks like him and Virgil Ortiz. It looks like it's going to go down February 22nd somewhere for the WBC. So, interim World Super Welterweight title. Interim.
And of course, here we got that interim. Unbelievable.
Hey, so what do you think of the sanctioning body shaking down Tyson Fury for $1 million?
I didn't hear about that. What, is there a reason?
Larry Merchant brought it up. Larry Merchant said that Tyson Fury said that directly on TV.
Wow, I didn't hear that.
That's not cool, man.
Yeah, I wonder what he did.
No. He paid it.
He paid without being the champion.
They said it would be, they wanted $1 million to sanction him.
Oh my, that's insane.
Hey, somebody shot me a little text here on Twitch.tv. I want to mention it. It says, I remember the time Pedro interviewed promoter Frank Warren and asked him about former promoter Frank Maloney getting a sex change. You remember? Hey, that was hysterical. I couldn't believe that, man. I said to Frank Warren, I said, hey, so Frank, I mean, you know, so what's up with the other Frank? He goes, what do you mean? I go, Francis. He goes, oh, you mean Francis? I said, yeah, Francis. Did you ever see Frank Maloney before and after the sex change?
No, I did not.
He's an ugly mother ducker, man. I mean, put it this way, of all the ugly men in the world, he's like the ugliest man in the world. He's only about 5'4". He's small like a chick, but he's fat and wide and this kind of stuff. But yeah, man, making the transition at like 65 years old, that had to be like the stupidest decision I've heard in my life. But maybe more power to him, Frank Maloney. But I put Warren on the spot about it, man. I put him on the spot. Why not?
He was a manager, right?
No, he was a manager and a promoter. He promoted Lennox Lewis.
Lennox Lewis, yes, yep. Yes. So,
but he got a sex change, and I asked about it. You know, that was hysterical, without a doubt. Somebody else shot me something before we go back to Tommy Deere. That Steve Kim used to deliver mail for the United States Post Office. He couldn't imagine Steve Kim not cussing out a postal customer. Bottom line is, Steve Kim is doing his thing. Of course, Steve Kim's got it going on with that little thing for Snack. He's got to deal with Snack, and there's no doubt about it. He's doing well with Victor Conti. Now, I want to say goodbye and have a good week. Happy holidays to Tommy D and the family. Of course, Tamara's home. The genius is home. Maybe she could teach you something.
Yeah, maybe she can. I mean, I need to be taught a little bit of patience here in a new place.
You know what? I can't figure out, but every time you've talked on this conversation in the hour before, it sounds like somebody's pressing close behind you. Have a great day. I love you, Tommy D.
All right, Pedro. I appreciate it.
Peace and respect, man. Pressing clothes, Tommy D. He's running the cleaners. He used to run illegal card games. Now he's pressing clothes.
Oh, my God.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Card Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Keep listening for a free virus protection offer. Protect your computer from crashing and online scams. According to national research, one-third of all computers are infected with some sort of computer malware. And one-third of you have been a victim of online fraud. Protect yourself now with My Computer Works. We're an 18-year-old U.S.-based company with a 4.8 Google rating. We've helped your neighbors protect their computers for almost 20 years. And now you too can be protected for less than $1 a day. Get your total PC home support right now. Call our U.S.-based specialists right now and learn about our free offer. And remember, if we can't help you, our services cost you nothing. So call right now.
800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. That's 800-352-7618.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9. Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9.
If Dr. Fernandez were to address the problems affecting the sport of boxing, I think I would bring in a brand new promoter. I think Eddie Hearn's got to go. I think Warren's got to go. I think Aram's got to go. I think these guys are all old. I think they're all old school. I think they've got to get hip and they're not hip. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, I mean, Don King is even still wallowing around at 93 and 94 years old. Bottom line is, I think we need a new crew of promoters. We need a new young batch of promoters. And I think Eddie Hearn, of course, he lost $1 billion. He's relatively young. I think he's about 40 years old, but he's lost nearly $1 billion with his own. So I don't think he'd be my guy without a doubt. But the bottom line is, we need new promoters. And unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen. I think the sport is, if the sport doesn't bounce back in 2025, the sport's in deep, deep trouble. That being said, my name is Pedro Fernandez. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The impeccable one, Bailey Peck, is my producer for Sunday. We both wish you a very happy holiday season. Until after the hot Christmas years and Hanukkah, peace, love, and a ton of respect. This is a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Once again, happy holidays. See my name in